Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary, Faith Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
All right. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for another Tuesday night. We greet you in the name of Jesus, all of our listeners. Special shout out, as always, to Elder Oliver and Lady Oliver, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, all the engineers and sponsors. We thank you so much for this opportunity for our church to continue, continuously spread the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do not take it lightly, but we count it as an honor and a privilege for the Lord to just have us in this space and specifically in this dispensation to do it in the way that we are. So we're located at 877 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. Amen. We just thank God that this past Sunday was the first time for us being back in our headquarters since March, since the pandemic actually took off. And we thank God we had such a great turnout. We had some in the sanctuary, and we're grateful that we still had a good turnout on Facebook Live, on the YouTube, on Chaos, also in London, England, and those in Germany. Germany, for the first time, was on Sunday, we was reaching Germany. So we're just grateful for what God is doing. Tonight, Tuesday night Bible study, we're going to be led by our own Elder Victor Bluett. He's affectionately known on these parts as our rabbi, very great teacher, great family man, and we're just going to be met by him. And I think tonight he has his wife on with him on tonight. So the topic, what he's going to be talking about, is a great subject, and no one can. I always say nobody can talk about the preacher like his wife can. Nobody can tell the story like his wife can, like that spouse and those children. So we're just glad to have Evangelist Bluett on. I think she's on tonight, so glad to have her. Elder Taylor, our Elders Council President, Vice President of our Finance Department, he's on tonight. I'm not sure if Evangelist Stanton is on, and my precious wife is on tonight. Amen. And we just thank God for just another Tuesday night Bible study. We're going to say a quick word of prayer, and the next voice you will hear will be that of Elder Victor Bluett. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We appreciate you for allowing us this space, this time once more and again to just teach and expound on your word. But we know that it's the preaching and teaching of the word that brings deliverance, that brings salvation, that brings healing. And we just thank you to know, to have the assurance that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall stand. And as we enter into this service, we ask that you would just send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Let someone's life be changed on tonight. And we glorify you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Elder Victor Bluett, the service is in your hands. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Thank you for this opportunity. Elder Oliver, appreciate you, man, you and your wife. Appreciate everybody on. Appreciate my wife getting on tonight. I don't know how long she's going to be on. I know she has to run one of our grandkids to practice here in a little bit. But Evangelist Ricky Bluett, so my wife, should be on. All right, so we're going to come out of the book of 1 Timothy, starting at chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the young bishop. His overseer is Paul at this time in his life. I believe we all need an overseer. So one of the greatest teachers is teaching a young man at this time. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And before we go there, before we start at verse 11, I want to read just a few scriptures prior to verse 11 at 1 Timothy 6 and 3. And then we'll get a better understanding or expectation out of verse 11 and on from there. So 6 and 3 of 1 Timothy says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, withdrawing men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Again, this is Apostle Paul speaking, and he's talking to Timothy, the young bishop at this time. So we'll start at verse 11. You know, this is a small title, and I don't really give titles or subjects. I just try to go over what's in this, in the word. So, but the good fight of faith, the good fight of faith. So starting at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, said all that, and now he's directly talking to Timothy face-to-face himself, or in the letter talking to Timothy personally right now. But thou, O man of God, flee these things of what we just read earlier. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So it's good to have an overseer. It's good to have somebody you can look up to. It's good to have somebody you can trust, even with your own life. It's good to have somebody that can instruct you, teach you, comfort you, exhort you, even tell you when you're doing wrong. Timothy had this in his life by the name of Apostle Paul. But thou, O man of God, meaning as even as a child of God, man of God, flee these things. And it's a lot of things that we got going on in our lives that we need to flee. It's a lot of things that we entertain, keep around us too long, that can influence our way of doing things. And Paul's trying to get this young man to just look to God first, do things the right way. And we'll see later on to be unblameable in your actions and how you carry yourself each day. So, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. How many times have we not carried ourselves in the world, or even at church, or even in our own homes, or Walmart, or wherever you may be? How many times have we not carried ourselves in the right way? And then we find ourselves having to defend ourselves. And this is what Paul is trying to reiterate to, that if you follow after righteousness, if you follow after faith and love and patience and meekness, these are the attributes or the attitudes we ought to have that would have us not to have to defend ourselves every day and even so often or once, twice a year, whenever the time may come about. If we carry ourselves in the right way, we don't have to defend ourselves. If we carry ourselves in the right way, we don't always have to speak of what I do, what I did, we don't have to do all that. We can just concentrate on the word of God, or we can concentrate on a nice, peaceful conversation with anybody we're talking to, whether we're talking about the word of God or just talking about life and family. So, anybody got any comments before we move on?
I'm enjoying it, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak on righteousness, goodness, faith, and love. The righteousness, the ethical conduct in the sight of people, and most of all, and most important, what God sees us as. And godliness, I really don't like to put this lingo that we've always quoted, give my own definition of godliness. If people can see Christ in you, and faith is a complete trust and not rushing things that you don't understand, and trusting the process. And love is a commitment. Whatever you commit, love is a commitment. And patience is remaining calm when things don't turn out your way or the way you planned it. And meekness is teachable and humble.
Amen.
Anybody else got anything?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. That's real good.
All right. I'm going to hold her to that tonight now. You know that. So we in First Timothy.
Teachable.
All right. That was good, Pink. I appreciate that, breaking that down. But if we would have love, we can sustain a whole lot. So We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, meaning stand on the word of God. Stay strong. Don't weaken. Just like when armies come together and go into battle, they continuously fight. They don't let up. We have to do the same thing when we're fighting for God, when we're fighting for love, when we're fighting for Christ, when we're fighting for ourselves. We have to stay in the fight. And I think it was John Lewis who had recently passed, get into good trouble. In other words, things that would make it right for others. Go ahead and get in trouble for it. Good trouble. But fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. And we know that Timothy was called of God with his mother and his grandmother laying their hands on him and giving him what he had even at this point. And Paul taking over as his overseer and teacher and his father in Christ, whereunto thou art also called and professed a good profession before many witnesses. How many of us cannot deter from who we should be when we get around certain people? Can we still be a true witness? Can we be a true witness for Jesus? How come we have to situate ourselves when we get around certain people? Why do we have to change? And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. And we'll read that again just by hearing that part. Let's read that again. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. And there again, we don't. If we do that, if we stay true even to ourselves, let alone to Jesus, if we stay true to ourselves, we don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to say, you know, how we are now based on what we were or how we was. Just live the life that God has sustained you with. You know, eternal life is what we're living right now. We got a head start on eternal life right now. Right now. Where Jesus tells us to live abundantly. That's part of it. So fight your good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, Paul tries to, he says that to Timothy, for Timothy to be a good witness or to profess, or have a good fight before many witnesses. Now, check out verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God. I'm telling you this in the sight of God in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, meaning all things live by him, through him. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession. Now, what is Paul saying? So as he told Timothy in verse 12, a good profession before many witnesses, he's telling him now how Jesus did it. How Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, the one who had the sovereignty at that time in man's world. He had pure sovereignty, meaning he was a full ruler, right? He had all authority. That Jesus did not back down. Jesus did not deter from what he said, what he preached about, how he healed, how he raised the dead, how he confessed his Father, how he confessed the gospel. He did not deter from that. So reading that again, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession. You know, how many of us can, you know, if we was in court and we lied to get out of going to jail? Are we as Peter saying, I never knew him?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took his confession to the grave. He took it. He died for each and every one of us. He didn't have to do what he did, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. And how many of us can have a good confession to everybody and not change our ways because of somebody? Anybody got anything?
We got to get ready to take a break. But before you take that break, I'm thinking also, not only is it good for you to have a good profession or a good confession in where you stand, But it's also just as important for the world to be able to look at our life and have a good confession also. Pontius Pilate, while Jesus was there and he was questioning Jesus and all this, Pontius Pilate's confession was, I find no fault in him. And because him being a worldly man but could see Jesus Christ, interview him, and could not find any fault, even though the system or the people was trying to convince him that Jesus was, you know, a bad man, that Jesus was of the devil and all this, Pontius Pilate's confession was, I find no fault in him. And it's important that we as believers, especially before the world, you know, because you're dealing with the world that may not ever come to church. They may not ever read their Bible, you know, but they will look at you. They will look at your lifestyle. And what does the world, when they see you, whether the world could be even your family, your immediate family, just talking about the unsaved, when they see your lifestyle, you know, what do they say about you? Can the world look at you and say, well, not only is she confessing or is he confessing Christ, I hear him preaching, I see him preaching, but I also can witness that in the community or wherever he's at, he's living or she's living what he or she is preaching, you know, or what he or she is teaching. So this is a great subject, it's a great topic tonight. It's very important that we as believers, because Jesus said, by this shall all men know, meaning the world, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, meaning a follower of mine, if you have love one to another. So it's very important to make sure that we are not just hearers of the word, but also doers. So when the world speaks of us, they can say, oh, no, that brother or that sister, they live, they live what they are preaching. So what they're confessing, they are also possessing. So, yeah.
That's amen.
Well, that's why I said in the beginning of what righteousness, ethical conduct in sight of people. And most
right.
of all, what does God see in us?
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. We'll come right back.
Glad that you decided to join us this evening for our Tuesday night Bible study. We thank and praise God for our Elder Bluett teaching such a great word. But right now we want to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry. There are two ways that you can give. And on tonight we're asking that you not give grudgingly or under compulsion, but give from a cheerful heart. No matter what your seed is, when it goes into the ground, it can produce a great bloom. So the first way that you can give is by Cash App. Our Cash App is PTB 8 877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. And you do have to put the money sign in front of it. Once again, that's money sign, PTT 877. Or you can give by debit or credit card or PayPal. And you can call our church office. The telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that is 678-760-6056. We're going to turn it back over to Elder Bluett, which is coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 11. Elder, I'll turn it back over to you, sir.
Amen, amen. All right, we had stopped at verse 13. I'll read that, and then we'll go on to the next verse. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. We have to stand fast on what we believe. I mean, what kind of faith do we have if we can't stand fast on it? If we can't truly believe that Jesus is who he said he is, who God is who he said he is, stand on the word of God. Stand on the word of God and have a good confession without repentance, a good confession without wavering. And do that in your life. Do that in your life. So verse 14, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in our daily walks, whether you even go to church or not, there may be some listening now that have never been to church but just curious about this program, and whether you do go to church, can we just be subject to ourselves first? Can we develop our own integrity? Can we have confidence in ourselves?
Wow.
To do the at all times. That's not even trying to burden you with Jesus in your life or God in your life. I'm just talking to you. Are you responsible to your own self?
Wow.
It's hard to do that, but it's easier to do that when you got Christ in your life, though, because he gives us power through the Holy Ghost to be strong. He gives us more power to confess. He gives us more power to witness who he is and what he has done in our life. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, and then when you do, because I believe you are, when you do accept Jesus Christ in your life, you'll see what I'm talking about, how much more power and strength you have through Jesus in his name. That thou keep this commandment without spot, meaning keep the word of God without spot. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we would have our own integrities in place, if we would have our God in place in our life at the top, him coming first, if we would have that, we would be unrebukable. So what Paul is teaching Timothy is very simple stuff. It's very powerful, but it's very simple. Keep yourself whole. Fight the good fight of faith. You shouldn't have to defend yourself if you're running after Jesus. You shouldn't have to defend yourself if you're committed to the word of God. You shouldn't have to defend yourself if all you're trying to do is help somebody. See, when we get alone or somebody see us, you know, in secret or whatever, and we done something, then they bring that up, we find ourselves having to defend ourselves. We can be rebuked. Paul's telling Timothy,
right,
just live your life, man. Live your life, woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what's right. Believe me, it's being stored up. God does not forget what we do.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad, good or evil. We got the answer to both. I would rather have to answer less about the evil.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got anything? If not, we'll move on.
I do, Elder. I do. Wow. Great, great teaching.
For the last couple of days, I've had vertigo. And with vertigo, I'm sitting still, I'm laying down or sitting or standing, but everything around me is spinning. And you just reminded me that when you don't have vertigo, you can focus on something. With vertigo, it's hard to focus because everything is moving. But when you don't have vertigo, you can stay focused. And that's what this walk is supposed to be about. Walk with Christ. We should focus on Christ instead of allowing ourselves to spin around and around. Spinning by other people's opinion, spinning by, you know, other people's interpretation of the word, spinning by not having prayer and not having worship and not getting into the presence of God. But when you're still, you can focus on Christ, focus on his word. And when we do that, then we can walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Because too often, you know, people have seen people in the church just make a good talk. But they probably would, a lot of church people have vertigo. And it's not even supposed to be that. We're supposed to be focused. When people see us, they should see that light shining.
Yes.
They should see that profession of love. They should see that forgiveness and not somebody walking around with vertigo spinning on every side. So I thank you for this tonight. And it just reminds me, stay focused. Go after Christ. Live for Christ. And then, like you said, when you live for Christ, then nobody can say anything about you, but that person is living for Christ. You know, you don't want around where people can say, yeah, one day they're like this, but another day they're like this. Any moment they can turn into this. No, we're sons, daughters of the Most High God, walking in love. Thank you, Elder.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody else?
Yeah, Elder Blewett, this is a great lesson. Again, it's very thought-provoking. And one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking with the scriptures is, you know, it's like Paul is telling Timothy, you know, just don't have a form of godliness and denying the power. And that's what happens with a lot of people. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God that allows them to be meek, that allows them to be humble. Like you said, the Holy Ghost allows us. The Holy Ghost rebukes our flesh. The Holy Ghost is that fighting part of us that fights for us and fights against our flesh. So wherever we are, whether we be at work, at a football game, baseball game, in our own homes, in the church facility, we can't have a form of godliness because that's just fleshly. And so we have to have the power of the Holy Ghost to help us fight against our own self. You know, like you said, can we be accountable to our own self? And it's hard to do that in your own self because you will lose every time fighting in your own self. So you need the Holy Ghost, the power, you know. And so we have to be more than just have a form of godliness. If we call ourselves a man, woman, or a child of God and the world that we live in, and wherever we go, and whatever we do. And I like the point that you made where you said that, you know, if we call ourselves a man of God or a woman of God, we don't have to broadcast that. We shouldn't have to broadcast that. And that, and people just should see it in us without ever, us even saying anything, you know. So great lesson tonight, man. Very thought-provoking, and it's real good. So that's all I got.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. All right, verse 14, 1 Timothy chapter 6. That thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul wasn't telling Timothy to be sinless, because no man can be sinless. But what he was telling him, that to have the opportunity to make things right, when we see, we're not gonna do all of the details of God's word, but we do have this thing called grace and mercy, that where we can make that thing right when we do make a mistake. See, and a lot of folk can do that. A lot of us can do that. We can repent sincerely when we make a mistake, and a lot of folk can't. They just can't, because the mistake they don't see, and that's one of the attributes they're missing from God, of love, meekness, what is it? Love, meekness, faith, patience. When we're missing those things, we can make mistakes. We fail to see the mistake in order to repent. But God wasn't telling Timothy to be sinless, unrebukable, when he said that. But it's just to make things right if things go wrong. You know, a good man will always say, I'm sorry, or I'll apologize, or forgive me, I didn't know. A good man will. But without stubborn men and stubborn women, they will not do that. Let's go on to verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only pontificate, kings and lord of lords. So what Paul is telling Timothy now, and he's talking about at the latter part of verse 14, at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only pontificate, the king of kings and lord of lords. And at this time writing this, even with the disciples of Jesus, they would ask him, or they would think that he was bringing the kingdom now, that he was going to be in charge, that Jerusalem was going to be under him as a king on earth now. But no man knows the time of the hour, is what Paul is saying right now. No man knows the time of the hour when Jesus Christ will come. Only God has that, and Jesus doesn't even know himself. Only God knows that. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only pontiff, king of kings and lord of lords. And we look at people every day and we put them on pedestals. And it's a lot of folk we know. Everybody can see that that person don't belong on the pedestal but us, or but you, or but me.
Wow.
Only God belongs on that pedestal. How often should he be on it? Mm-hmm. At all times.
Right.
When we look to God and believe and know that he is who he is, you know, it takes all doubt and questions out of the way, where our personal integrities can be entrusted to God to keep. And what we give to God is our life. He is faithful enough to keep it. He is faithful enough to restore it. He is faithful enough to bless it. Amen? All right. And then into 16, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by the way, Jesus was given that title also in the book of Revelation, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God was called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They shared that title. So verse 16, who only has immortality. He is the only one that has life, eternal life. Who only has immortality. He has life, right? Dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man have seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He who only have immortality. God has eternal life. And even though, and when Jesus died on the cross and was buried, only thing he did was taste death for every man. He just tasted it. It was impossible for death to hold him.
Yes, sir.
Possible for death to hold it, but he had to taste it for each and every one of us. In all points, he had to go through what we would go through so that he can be our lawyer in the court of God, that he can be our testifier, that he can be our protector before God. And if it wasn't no Jesus, you know, God would easily just do things all over. And if you don't believe it, go back and read in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Genesis.
Right.
Talk, huh? Yeah, go read it. But God told Moses, just get away from me. I'm going to kill them all, and I'll create a new people. And Moses asked him, well, you know, if you do that, what would the people, what would the heathen say, that you couldn't take care of us?
Right.
He put God on the spot. And when you get a personal relationship with God, you can put God on the spot. Did you know that?
That's right. That's
you
good.
You can put God on the spot. You have a personal relationship with him. You got anything, Pastor?
Dude, you just said on the spot, my mind immediately went to Abraham when God had sent the angels and they was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And
where
Abraham, with Lot over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels was going to destroy the city. And Abraham bargained. Abraham talked to God and said, you know, will you not spare? You not spare the city? I think he started at about 50,000. I mean, 50 people, and I think he went down to about five. he got down to about five, and we know that we couldn't, that there was not five found. So that's a good point, man. When you got, you know, you think about your own kid, you know, there's certain relationships and things that you will do for your own children because of a benefit of them being yours. And there are privileges that we have because we are children of God. I gave a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching a message, and I gave the illustration. I told the story about the father that took his kids to the mall and to the movies and all that, and they wanted their friends to go, and he allowed them to go. But when it was time to go home, the only ones that could go home with the father was his children, was the one that had his DNA, the ones that had his blood. And that's symbolic to what we are now. You know, there are certain benefits that we have, and there are certain things that even the world can partake in. Time to go home. When the Lord cracked the sky, and when it's time for a separation, that message we was preaching about the wheat tares, and Jesus was like, let them grow together. But the day is going to come. Well, there's going to be a separation. Yeah. So, yeah, great
Amen.
Teaching, man.
Amen. All right, verse 16, one more time. Who only have immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man have seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We cannot get in front of God right now in the mortal bodies that we're in right now. Our flesh can't even sustain it. He is that bright. Do you know when Jesus returns, there will be no more moon or stars. Only light that's going to light up everything is the presence of God. And right now, we're not able in the flesh that we're living in to stand before God, to see him face to face.
Right.
That's what Paul is telling Timothy right here. Paul is telling Timothy. Who only have immortality, God cannot die, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, who no man have seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We treat God like he one of us.
Wow.
We treat God like he just one of us, like he just lived down the street, and we go see him on Sunday, and we want something on Sunday. But we won't give them nothing Monday through Saturday. How many times do you think God going to allow us to come to him and he keep blessing us to keep on living, to keep on having substance, to keep on having things in our life? How many times do you think he's going to do that? Yeah, he's full of grace and mercy. How many times are you going to keep doing that if we can't pay nothing back? Not even a good morning. Not even a thank you for waking us up this morning. controls everything, all in all. He has our life in his hand right now at this very second. We are to treat him as such, as all-powerful, with all sovereignty. So let's go to, verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. So now Paul goes away from talking directly to Timothy about how he should conduct himself and who he should look up to, which is God. So he goes from personally giving him directions for his personal self to now talking about those under him in the church. So remember we read before chapter 11 about the root, about money, about those who were wealthy, about those who were high-minded, about those who was using their money and their wealth like they had got it on their own for themselves. And we know that God gives you. All right, let's go here. So, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, it's not a sin. Paul comes back around to talk about money. It's not a sin to be wealthy. It's not a sin to be well off. It's not a sin to have material. It's not a sin at all. So here Paul comes back around where he at first said the love of money is the root of all evil. Now he comes around to put this in its proper place about wealth and money. So he's telling Timothy how to teach his congregation right now. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Boisterous, bragging, so high-minded that they can't help nobody, help somebody.
Yes, sir.
Right? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, let's break that down. Charge them that are rich in this world, and that are wealthy. Charge them that are, speak to them that are rich. Speak to them who are wealthy in the church, in your church, Timothy. This is what he's telling Timothy, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Because, see, riches can be here today and gone tomorrow. And how to teach it. So riches is the uncertain riches. Now, you know, it's a lot of us, you know, it's a lot of folk got money. And it's a lot of folk trust in that money. And what's the guy's name that was the owner of Apple that died a few years ago? One of the richest men in the world. Can't think of his name. Jobs. Was it Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
That was his name, Jobs.
Yeah, he had got so sick that he wrote about it. And it was a long writing that he wrote about he knew he was going to die, and his billions could do nothing for him.
Come on, bro.
He couldn't buy help. He couldn't buy anything with that money that would have saved his life.
That's right.
So that's just what Paul is talking about to Timothy, uncertain riches, things that we think is going to keep us going when they can be here today and gone tomorrow. So charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. But who to trust in? But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And that being said is that it is God that gives us wealth. It is God that gives us prosperity. It is God that gives us the things that we have. Paul is telling Timothy that who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So he's telling Timothy to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have nothing, is what he's saying. We would have nothing.
Yes, sir.
So people that he has in his congregation that's under his teachings, Paul is saying, teach them this. Show them this. God doesn't want to lose any man or woman to death. He does not want them to be in a permanent death, in a permanent atonement in hell. He does not want to lose any of us. But if we would give God the praise he just so rightly deserves, if we would just say thank you for even a little bit or a lot, if we would even just put him first, See, when we put God first, it's a lot of stuff come with God. It's a lot of things come with God. And it's some blessings
yes,
that
sir.
He has that we haven't even seen yet. The further we push him up front, the more we got to push his luggage and his blessings and the things that follow him. See? I like that. I like that. If we push we got to take all what it comes with him and help him move along, see, in our lives. So he's telling the people that are rich in his congregation, it's not simple to have money, but he wants to show them what to do with that money, how to be even more blessed and get more money with the help of God who richly gave it to them in the first place. So verse 13, that they do good. What's wrong with helping somebody?
Come on, preacher.
I know he didn't get your business started. I know he didn't help you when you was down. I know he didn't do this, that, or the other for you, but he's down now. Can you help
mm-hmm.
out?
Wow.
See? Can you help out? And we are quick to turn our nose up to folk we thought should have helped us. And God puts
That's
people
good.
In our lives that we don't even know there to help us.
Yes, sir.
See, they do good, if they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So not only is Paul wanting to tell Timothy how to teach this, how people that are rich should be when they're ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You know, it's a lot of folk that live day by day. It's a lot of folk that live paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
We take it for granted. Why? Because every time we see them, they're smiling. So it shouldn't be nothing wrong, right? Think about that. We have to physically ask people, how you doing? Is everything okay? A person that smiles all the time, you know they're not really wealthy, or you know they may be paycheck to paycheck, or you know times might be hard for them. You may see them always smiling. Ask them the question one day one-on-one. You may have to get an napkin for their tears to for them. There's a lot of folk in the breaking point right now, especially now with the pandemic going on.
Yes,
and
sir.
Even before the pandemic.
Deal with it.
There's going to be people like that after the pandemic. But a lot of folk are smiling just to protect themselves. And here we are, high and mighty, high-minded, arrogant. Oh, they all right. They smiling. No. You know how many folk that we run into every day that has a shield up, a human shield? They're so messed up, they can't even hold it. That's how messed up they are. Their mind is messed up. So Paul is telling Timothy, tell these folk not to be high-minded with the riches that God gave them and help the people of God. It's nothing wrong with giving somebody $50, $100, $200, or whatever. God gave it to you before, he'd give it to you again. You got to empty yourself get filled back up. Empty yourself to receive more from God. God ain't going to just keep stacking in your just stacking you up like that if you ain't doing nothing with it.
That's good.
Anybody got anything?
It's not that you're not doing nothing with it. You're not doing anything to help anybody else. It's all about you, yours. And that's why, and I'm going to say this, the glory of God, that's why the Bluettes are so blessed, because we give out so much. We gave, my husband made us give when we didn't have. And we have to give until it hurts to those who are in need, especially, like you said, especially at a time right now, the mothers are in these homes suffering. We don't need, knock on the door, just take them some hand sanitizer or some gloves or, you know, give her a piece of money, you know. This is the time right now this is the time we should be on them doors like the Jehovah's Witnesses, knocking on them doors and leaving a package there and just walking away. We don't even have to say nothing. We don't even have to ask. Don't even ask. Just knock on the door and set a package on the door.
Mm.
That's godly love. That's meekness. Mm. That's kindness. That's patience. And the more we do for others, God is going to continue. He can't help but to bless you. But
right.
only, some of us are only going to get enough to get by.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be more abundantly. He wants to bless us more abundantly. But we're not going to get the abundance because we can't even be faithful on the few that we have.
That's right.
We have to be gracious with what we have, not trying to can all we get all we can.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's real good. I like to use the point a channel blesser, meaning you're just the one that God is entrusting to get it to the right person, to get it to the right people, to get it to the right family. And as Evangelist Blewett just said, the reason why a lot of us, we stop our own blessing because when God gives us something, we close our hands. And the thing about closing your hands is can't nothing else get in it and can't nothing get out of it. And God never, if he can't trust you with it, he's not going to give it to you. So a lot of us, we're asking God for more, but as Evangelist Blewett just said, we're not faithful over the little things. We're not faithful, and not just in money, but in our time and in our talents, in our gifts. We can't even be trusted to do the easy things. And here we are asking God, you know, anoint me the more, give me a fresh, take me higher. But God said, well, I just need you to talk to your neighbor. We want to be on TV. We want to do all this. I want to be great. But then God said, well, no, I just, as I've stated down through the years, as definitely during this time, we want to be great everywhere else. When God is saying, well, can you please be great at home first? Can you be a great husband? Can you be a great wife? Can you be a great son, a great daughter? Can I trust you with the small things? The scripture says if you are faithful over few things, then he'll make you ruler over many. And Paul is challenging Timothy here, as you stated, Elder, to encourage your people. First of all, we are givers, or we don't do good deeds to be saved. Let's make that plain and clear. We don't do good deeds to be saved.
No,
we
sir.
We do good deeds because we are saved.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
We do good deeds because we are saved. So we should be givers of time, talents, and finances. You know, when you can, we should all be channel blessers where God can entrust it with us to give it and be able to hear from him. How many times have we rebuked the Lord? Nuh-uh. I just got that $100. The Lord rebuked. How you going to rebuke God over something that, you know, if he blow on it, you know, you going to lose it anyway. So great point, man. I'm enjoying this tonight. Great point from you and from Evangelist Blewett.
Amen. So to just those comments being said, let's read 18 again then. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Willing to see how somebody doing so you know if you need to do something. And like my wife saying, if there's no communication and you know that you know, just go by there and drop a box off. Develop a Cash App for them. Send them some money once a month, once a week or whatever. And not bragging or anything, but me and my wife, we got several people we do that to throughout the month. So, and it's nothing that I'm good or what I'm not putting myself on no pedestal, but God has blessed us. And it makes us feel good to bless somebody. So verse 19, laying up in store for ourselves a good foundation. And see, what we do good for people, we're building our own foundation in heaven. We're building our own foundation with God. See? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Now, our lives ain't going to always be so-called perfect.
You know, and like I was saying earlier, riches can come and riches can go. Materialism can come and materialism can go. The next day can be total disaster from what it was the day prior. So when you build a foundation, especially amongst ourselves and people, people know, and it's not to give to get, and I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying to give in order and try to get back from somebody you gave to, and it's better to give to somebody you don't know. That way you can't find them when you need something. But you build a foundation of friendship. You build a foundation of love. You build a foundation of discipleship. You build a foundation of truth on the doctrine. You build a foundation of cohesion. You build a foundation of togetherness. Because one day you can be up and I'm down, and I can be up and you down, and we can help each other. We can help one another in this physical life, let alone what God got waiting on us, because we are doing good works because we love him. And if we love God and we say we love God, then we'll do for the people of God. See? It rains on the just and the unjust, and that's what God does. Everybody. Giving everybody the same opportunity he gave you to be with him. And here we are putting folk, I ain't going to go there. So we'll read verse 19. And I'll read 20, then we'll open it up. For themselves, a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And we're building that right now. If we would work with the attributes God has given us, in other words, he has made us in the same image as him, if we would build on that and work with that, we're starting our eternal life now, whether you know it or not. Your eternal life starts now. When you get some time, think about that. Your eternal life starts now. Your abundant life is the life you live in. They can be abundant. What do you say? Let me see if I can write quick. Where is it? Jesus said this in John 10:10. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. That he's talking about the present life that we're living right now. Why cut yourself short? Huh? And even those of us who are wealthier, those of us who got money, those of us who got materialism, or those of us who just got more abundance more than others, you know, you can't leave the church out. You can't do it. Christianity is all about faith. There's no checks coming in from the government or the county or some employer. The church is ran and opened by the congregation.
That's right.
There's so many dollars that go to church every Sunday.
Come on,
hoping
preacher.
To become a bill. They go to church every Sunday. The dollar wants to come to church, because when the offering is taken up and we go back there and count that money, see, he's amongst many of his family at that time. But he's loaning you in your pocket. Let's give. Let's give abundantly. Last Sunday was the first time the church was reopened since the pandemic. We know the responsibilities that we have. And just based on tonight's lesson, let's give abundantly. I double dare you to see if God won't bless you. I'm a living witness that he will. We can have all the faith in the world, but that faith we can't take down there and pay the bills with.
That's right.
So charge the rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be good, rich, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, this is back to Timothy personally. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling,
and oppositions of science falsely so called. So just preach a man, preach the word of God. Stop defending yourself.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that's in defense is the gospel. The only thing that's in defense is the gospel. But ourselves, we are nothing. We are nothing. We're just a body that can be used willingly if we do. That's it. That's how you got to think of things. We're nothing, especially without God. So, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, the doctrine, the word of God, the gospel, avoiding profane and vain babblings, the gossip, the so-called science of, because of science the world was made. Avoid all the foolish babblings and talkings. Avoid those conversations you know ain't nothing not godly. Avoid those conversations you know ain't going to entertaining the fly on the wall. Stop. No more excuses. And I'm not talking just to preachers. I'm talking to everybody myself. No more excuses. We can say time is running out, and it could be true. We can say time is not running out, and it could be true. We don't know. Fuck it down somewhere. Someday, at some time. And you know what? If God I live, we got to get that in our minds. It's going to come a day. It's going to come an hour. It's going to come a second. That God is going to break, that Jesus is going to break that sky. He's going to do it. No man know it, but God. And that's maybe too late. It can happen tonight. It can happen in the morning. It can happen 5 minutes from now. So verse 21, and we're done. Profession have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Grace be with thee. Amen. So Paul, as a great overseer, and I was on the program last night with Elder Oliver, and he had the overseer on, the pastor come on there. It was a good conversation last night, and he was talking about money, talking about tithing, and whatnot. But it was a great conversation. And I think the overseer was the one that mentioned about just leaving people alone, that just wasn't going to do right. Just leave them alone. Let God have them. And we got to do that. We really have to do that. You can only do so much by us speaking and showing our lives in front of others. But you got to let that thing be in God's hands at some point. We don't want to drive nobody off. We want them to stay in the sanctuary because it could be the word that turns them around. So, any comments from anybody? I'm done. Despite the good faith.
Just real quick. In your circle, you should always have somebody that'll hold you accountable. I think you said that in the beginning, but I think we really have to reiterate that, not just leaving people that we – you can leave people alone if you just know that, you know, they're not going to do right. But a lot of people, though, because we're all right in our own eyes. You could be doing something you think the right way all these years because you were taught. But come to find out, you've been doing it, and whoever taught you was doing it wrong. So we're all right in our own eyes, but you should have somebody in your circle to hold you accountable and let you know when you're wrong.
That's good. Pastor's in your hands, sir.
Amen. All right. Elder Taylor, you still on? You have any final words for tonight?
Yeah, I'm still here, Pastor. He covered about everything. Elder Bluehead, that was a great word tonight, man. As I said before, it's very thought provoking, and it makes us really look at the man in the mirror, and as every word that's being taught or preached should do. So it just is really good, you know, and it makes you reflect back on yourself, you know, as, okay, where am I at? Where do I find myself in this word tonight? And so Paul was a great overseer. He was a great teacher, and Timothy was blessed to have him in his life. You know, kind of like what we all were pastors, you know, in our life, so as ministers of the gospel with Praise Tabernacle. So it's a great word, man, good word tonight. And, you know, I kind of find myself in that word a little bit tonight. You know, and again, it's, the word should always be thought-provoking. And you should be able to find yourself somewhere in the taught or preached word, you know, that you can benefit from. So great word tonight, bro.
All right. Thank you for that. Evangelist Stanton, I know she got lost. She got dropped. Did you get back on, Evangelist Stanton? Okay. My baby's mama, baby, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Did you have anything you want to say?
Oh, just great word on tonight. Elder Blewett, it was definitely confirmation and just reminding us to always do right even when no one is watching. And I don't know if he remembers this, but when we was at the sanctuary, I believe it was either him or Deacon Stanton that said, if you have to look over your shoulder or look to your left or to your right to see if someone is watching, that means you're not doing the right thing. And if someone out there that's listening on tonight, you can't help what people say, but just make sure that it's not the truth. And you can be a blessing, as the Vedic Duet said, you know, it may not be monetary blessing, but you can go and sit with the elderly. You can go, you know, to the nursing home and just be a blessing to let them know, hey, your family can't come in right now, but you know what? I'm here. God bless you. We have a mother in our church, and she's been a widow now for about 2 years. And, you know, I may not have the money to give her, but I have my time to give to her.
Right.
So someone out there listening that may not be financially stable, you can still be a blessing to someone just by showing them love. God bless you all.
All right. Great point. That's similar to what we was talking about. Elder Blewett brought it up about what we the discussion on last night, and I've been saying this for a while now. It's not always money. Sometimes it's your time and your talents. And being that I preach about families so often, I can't seem to get out of what I'm preaching now. I don't know how many more services God's going to allow me to keep preaching it. Even to the fathers, you know, you may be paying money, you may be paying child support, and you may feel that that's enough. But I'm here to tell you, it's not your time. It's in the eyes of children. They, you know, it's time. And I'm speaking this by, and nobody told me this. I'm a living witness. I desired more time from my biological father, but I just never got it. So never as a child, wasn't thinking about no money. I was anticipating him coming to pick me up. And me just being able to spend the day with him. And when that didn't happen, it caused, you know, it's a lot of hurt, you know, and which once I got married and started having children, I could have done what my father did, but I decided to do opposite. So I just want to challenge every father, every mother, whether you're single parent, single mother, single father, now, money is good, but don't forget about the time. You know, spend time with your children, with your family. Family is very important. Spend time. All right. Once again, Elder Blewett, thank you so much. Tonight's subject, the good fight of faith. Let us all fight the good fight of faith. Some of us are fighting, but is it the good fight? And is that fight, be mindful of that. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This has been another great Tuesday night Bible study. We thank Elder and Evangelist Blewett for both of them being on tonight. We thank Elder Taylor, Evangelist Stanton, and my precious wife. We also give shout-outs to Chaos Blog Talk, Elder Oliver and his wife, Lady Keisha Oliver. Meet us back here Thursday night. Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You can find us here on Chaos Blog Talk Radio, or you can tune in on Facebook Live. Amen. Germany, we coming back on Thursday night. London, we coming back on Thursday night. Stay tuned with another great praise and worship. Thursday night will be Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Amen. We'll be coming for before you right here from our home to lift up the name of Jesus and to speak a word of life into your life. Meet us back here Thursday night. And then Sunday morning, sanctuary from our headquarters, Praise Tabernacle Church. I'm about to add international to the name of our church, Praise Tabernacle Church International. I know some folks that got international by the name, but amen. All right, that's another subject. But we're just so grateful. We're thankful to God. We're going to say a word of prayer for the benediction. And if we don't see you in the morning, we hope to see you on Thursday night. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for another great Bible study. We ask you now that you will restore back into your man serving on tonight. We thank you for this great, thought-provoking, heart-pricking word, God, that from the pulpit to the door, helping us all to examine ourselves, making sure we're not looking through the eyes of someone else, but we want to keep our eyes focused on you and make sure that we are doing what you've called us to do. As we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world.